What do you want to talk about? Welcome to Life Matters with host Kim Alberts. This is the place to be for discussion, expression, and life matters. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy some straight talk and fun. Here's Kim Alberts.
Hey, good morning. Well, welcome to Life Matters. Today we're going to be talking about the situation that the state of Illinois finds itself in. It's really quite interesting. The federal deficit for the United States currently is sitting at $16 trillion. The deficit for the state of Illinois is at $8.3 billion. So there's a little bit of difference, but Illinois finds itself rapidly heading in the same direction. Illinois has tried a variety of things to try and get itself out of this problem. Right now, Illinois has a gas tax. We're number four in the nation for what we have to pay. We're behind New York. They're number one. Hawaii's number two. Connecticut's number three, and we find ourselves number four. We raised the tax on all tobacco products, and that went in effect June of this year, and the tax went from 98 cents a pack of cigarettes up to $1.98 a pack, but any form of tobacco was taxed in the same way. We have other forms of taxes on alcohol. Almost anything that can be taxed is taxed to try and raise the funds to get us out of this horrible deficit. Now, people are sitting back and asking, you know, exactly who is it that we're going to blame for getting us in the mess that we're sitting in right now? Some blame our current legislature, and Illinois has 59 senators and 118 representatives. All of them have support services. Illinois says that it is a full-time legislature, but they only work for 6 real months in session. A legislature earns approximately $83,477 for that 6 months that they're in session. They're number four in the nation for the amount of pay that they get. And they have inflation increases that's built automatically into that pay. So every year it's supposed to just automatically increase to account for inflation. Now, there are two states that have six-month sessions. One of them is Rhode Island, and one of them is South Carolina. And their legislatures are paid $18,000 and $17,000 to pay for the work that they're doing. But our legislature gets paid $83,500 for the work that they're doing. And even though we are full-time, every extra session day that they need to do the work that they didn't get done, we pay them another $150 for that work, and we have to pay them mileage, which is about 52 cents a mile. We also have to pay all of their support staff to be there. So in the month of December, extra session days for the state of Illinois cost somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000. In 2012, the legislature voted to freeze their pay. But Governor Quinn's 2013 budget proposed increasing his own salary by $1,600. He proposed giving the Secretary of the State a $1,400 increase. He suggested the Treasurer get a $1,200 increase. And he suggested that each member of the House of Representatives get a $620 increase. Now, there's 118 members of the House of Representatives. So when we give all 118 of them a $620 raise. That comes to $73,160. So it's a pretty good chunk of money. Now, he proposed that all senators get a $630 raise. Now, there's 59 senators, so that equals $37,170. So when we add up all of these legislators' pay increases, this equals $114,530 of pay that was proposed to be increased. Part of the problem, though, isn't just that pay increase. Part of the problem is that their pension is also based on the pay itself. So for every dollar of more pay that they make, we're increasing their pension funds. And as we know, the pension is a huge problem in the state of Illinois. And that's another issue we're going to be talking about during the show, because we can't afford the pensions that we are paying out to people. And our pension fund is horribly, horribly underfunded. It's supposed to be paying for five different groups of people. Teachers are one of them. They're one of the largest groups that pay into the pensions. And pensions right now are underfunded by $83 billion. And it's estimated by 2016 we're going to need to spend more on pensions than we are on education. Another way, so the state of Illinois has been stealing from the pension fund to try and pay bills. They've also been stealing from the various charity funds that are located on the income tax forms. You can check if you want to donate some of your income tax refund to some of these charity funds. Right? They've been stealing from these charity funds to help pay bills. So the charity funds also aren't getting the money. So we're extremely broke, I guess is probably the best word to say. Not only are we broke as far as cash, but the entire system is broken. And it has to be changed in some way. And I haven't heard anybody yet who has come up with a really great way to propose that change. Well, luckily, the legislature this year voted that they would not take the pay raise. They voted no, they wouldn't take it. They also agreed that they wouldn't take the cost of living pay. And instead, they decided they would each take 12 furlough days. So what that amounted to was a savings of $642,000 that went back into the general fund instead of taking out that $114,500. So there was actually some fiscal responsibility that went on there. So we can actually applaud them for that. But Illinois has the worst budget deficit in the nation per capita. We have $160,000 worth of bills that are sitting on our comptroller's desk waiting to be paid. That equals $8 billion. And our state debt is $271 billion. Billion with a B. And that equals $21,000 for every single Illinois resident. Every one of us would need to pay $21,000 to get us out of the debt that we're in today. Now, some have said that it's not the current legislature's fault of the debt that we're in. The problem really lies with former legislatures. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of these former legislators and some of the attitudes and the things that happened with former legislatures And the reason that Illinois is actually called the most corrupt state in the nation. Illinois has a lot of winnings, I guess, for being the number ones in the nation, and actually none of them are very attractive. So we're going to be looking at a lot of those. When we're going to be going to break now, and if you have missed any of our prior shows, you can go to iTunes, look up Kim Albert's Life Matters for a copy, or you can just go to my homepage on voiceamerica.com, the Variety Show. And in that section, you will find me, and you can look up any of the past shows that we've done and the links there, and go ahead and click on those, and you can check out some of the shows that we've done in the past and listen and see what matters and what's going on if you've missed any of the shows before. So check those out and get informed on what matters on Life Matters. And we will be coming back in just a couple minutes, and we'll be checking out more about the corruption in Illinois. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Racism, healing, oneness of humankind. It is time to join millions of people all over the world who openly talk about racial healing. Some of us are not sure how to tread when discussing race and culture. Until now. Tune in to A Safe Place to Talk About Race with host Sharon E. Davis. Engage with experts and notables. Have a question but are not sure how to ask it? Test it out with our show. It's a safe harbor to explore views and situations that we face every day. A Safe Place to Talk About Race airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Want the best life has to offer for you, your family, and friends? There are a number of community-based programs and resources available to individuals for low cost or no cost. No need surfing the net or spending hours on the phone. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with hosts Melissa Jenkins-Simon and Diane Stafford and get the tools to success. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
Hey, welcome back. We are talking about the fact that Illinois has won another award, and that award is that they are the most corrupt state in the nation. And Chicago was voted the most corrupt city in the nation, and that's according to a study that was done by the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs. The culture of corruption, especially in Chicago, dates back to the 19th century, so this is nothing new at all. But a gentleman named Michael McDonald created a system that officials would distribute contracts, jobs, social services in exchange for businesses throwing political support to the other person. And so that began in Chicago in the 19th century. And that's been going on in Chicago longer than anywhere else in the nation. And it has been better hidden and better established in Chicago. In 1976 and 2010, 1,531 convictions for public corruption had been accomplished in the federal district, and that dominated the court system in Chicago. This includes Illinois has had four governors who have been to prison, and most notably, our last two sitting governors are currently sitting in prison right now. George Ryan was sent to prison on charges of fraud and racketeering while he was our Secretary of State. And his entire system amounted to 75 people from his office being convicted and sent to prison for some length of time. So 75 people and himself ended up in prison on that whole system. George was found guilty, and he was sent to a prison in Wisconsin for 6.5 years, and he is currently still sitting in prison today. He is a very elderly gentleman, and some people have called that he should be released because he is quite elderly, but he was an older gentleman when he was sent to prison. So he was sent in 2007, so he is getting close to being released, and we'll see how that works for him. There has been some story that he may be getting released soon to begin a work program. So we'll see. That would certainly, they're saying, be better for him to be out on a work program than in prison every single day. Our last governor, Rod Blagojevich, was also sent to prison on charges of fraud, racketeering, and he is in prison in Colorado. So, also in the news following his incarceration were questions about if he was further involved in the selling of a Senate seat, and numerous names have come up, and there's questions whether or not that charge will be thoroughly investigated and if answers about that will ever come out, because the Senate seat belonged to current President Obama. We have had senators. Senator Dan Rostenkowski was indicted and imprisoned on charges of mail fraud. He spent about 18 months in prison, but was then pardoned by President Clinton in 2000. He had already served his full prison term and was out at that time. Roland Burris is the gentleman who was most notably involved in the scandal about the possible sale of President Obama's seat in the Senate. He had moved to the Senate, but is no longer there, and there's still questions about whether that charge will ever be fully answered. Senator Jesse Jackson Jr. has also been questioned about that, and it's uncertain whether he was involved in that also. For the first time in the century, the Illinois House voted to expel a member after he was indicted for taking a bribe. He accepted $7,000 to write a letter for a $50,000 grant for the creation of a bogus child care center. The vote to expel him was 100-6. So he was expelled just recently. The problem is that this senator is a Democrat from Chicago. There is no Republican on the ballot against him, and he is up for election this November. He will win because no one else is against him on the ballot. He can return to the House. I'm sorry, he's a representative, not a senator. He can return to the House in November, and he cannot be expelled from the House twice for the same offense. So even after he admitted the charges, the voters in Chicago returned him. He won the primary by 76.7%. So even after he admitted that he had taken his bribe, that yes, he did it, he was indicted, the voters in Chicago returned him to the same political office. And there's nothing that can be done about it. So it almost seems like in Chicago, corruption is just expected and accepted. And it's just unbelievable to me that knowing that one of our government officials did this, that people would willingly restore him to a place in public trust again. But that's what happens there repeatedly. I looked at our Constitution about what it is that is expected of a legislature, and I was really very, very shocked and surprised because it is extremely vague and says very little about what's expected from them. It does not have any requirement at all on the number of days that a legislature is to be present or the number of votes that they have to cast. It does say what day of the year that the sessions will begin. There is nothing written on how a seat is declared vacant or who makes the determination that it is vacant, only on how the seat can be filled. We have a situation like that going on right now in Illinois with the in the House and the Senate, in that it involves two of our senators, Senator Mark Kirk and Senator Jesse Jackson Jr. January 21st of this year, Mark Kirk had a stroke, and it was severe enough that he needed to leave his position and return home to go through rehab and recuperate. Senator Kirk has missed all 189 votes this year. Jesse Jackson Jr. took a leave of absence June 10th of this year. At that time, it was very, very vague about why he was leaving, and there were several misleading stories given about why he was leaving, and eventually his office did state that he did need to leave. First it was said because of depression, and later Mayo Clinic stated that he had a bipolar depression. Jesse Jackson Jr. missed 178 roll call votes. Initially it was said that Senator Jackson was going to be returning today, but then they released a statement saying, no, he was not returning today. Now, Senator Jackson is up for re-election this November. So Illinois has not had representation from two of our senators. It's very unfortunate, but there's really nothing that I, as a voter, can do about that, it appears, except for when it comes time for re-election. Now, Jesse Jackson Jr. Is in a district that extends from Chicago to Kankakee. Typically what happens is Chicago controls the state, even though it's very, very ironic that the state capital is Springfield. Chicago typically controls the state. So people who are outside of Chicago, their votes are typically overrun and aren't. Our views are not very well heard. So even though Senator Jackson did have an opponent run against him in the primary who did bring up many issues against Senator Jackson, she was not able to win against him in the primary. So at least according in the Illinois Constitution, it doesn't say who declares this seat vacant. So even though Senator Kirk and Senator Jackson are not in the Illinois legislature, it doesn't say who makes that determination of how this seat is vacant, how many session votes they have to miss before it's vacant, who determines it to be vacant, just about how it's going to be filled. And it would be very interesting, for me anyway, why nothing has been determined that they have to miss, you know, a certain percentage of what happens. How is that going to How is that done? The Constitution does indicate the date every year that the session is going to begin, but there's nothing in there about the number of expected days that are going to be in a session, how long a session date is expected to go, and then our number of sessions in a year. So it's almost like the date that you show up is there and then nothing else. I don't know of any other job that tells you only that you need to show up on your first date, but doesn't bother to fill out and state you have to work so many hours a week, so many days, that doesn't give you any more information than that. The Constitution also says that committees have to have a journal transaction of the business that's done, write about the expectations, you know, the things that are done. But it doesn't say anything at all about if a member has to belong to a committee or if a member has to release any voting records to their constituents. And the last thing on the Constitution says that the legislature has immunity from arrest going to, during, and returning from sessions of assembly, except in instances of treason, felony, or breach of peace. So I found all of these things very interesting and extremely vague in that the expectations that we give to our legislatures. All right, we're going to be going on a break. I encourage you to call in with any comments or questions or ideas that you may have in how you think this situation can be corrected or what you would expect from your legislature. I know I certainly expect a little more from mine than what I see in the Constitution, but go ahead and give us a call, and we'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with hosts Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. You'll learn about conservation, products, and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
Welcome back. The same budget that Governor Quinn was suggesting of pay raises for himself and legislatures, he was stating that $2.7 million had to be cut from a Medicaid budget. And he suggested this through various means. But what's ironic is that that same year, 2.7 million people are on Medicaid. 2.7 million people on Medicaid. That's a huge amount of people. From 2000 to 2011, the number of people in Illinois that were receiving services doubled. And the director of the Department of Health Care and Family Services have said that some of the recipients don't even live in Illinois. Now, how can we be giving state services to people who don't even live here? I want to know how that's possible. He estimated, the department director estimated, that between 100,000 and 300,000 people could be removed from the program, which would save 100 to 700 million a year. And Governor Quinn says the budget's got to shave $2.7 million from this budget by 2013. There's a program called the Moms and Babies Program, and the eligibility for this just kind of amazed me. The only thing you have to do to get into this is live in Illinois. You don't have to be a citizen or a legal resident, and you don't need a Social Security card. You just walk into a state office and say that, you know, you want to get this? I don't understand this. How can you qualify for state services if you aren't a legal resident? I mean, I don't understand this. Coverage for this program will last 60 days after the birth of your child, and then you automatically get enrolled in a program that's called All Kids for 1 year. All Kids is like a public aid card for the child. And eligibility for All Kids is you can meet that if you are at 300% of the poverty level for your income. Now, Governor Quinn says we probably need to drop that to 200% of the poverty level. A family of four making $46,100 a year is eligible for All Kids. One of the problems is that reimbursement to Medicaid providers has been lagging since 1994. So despite having these programs, we're not paying providers. Obviously, we can't pay providers since we're so far behind with bills. In 1994, Republicans said that the backlog pay was $1.2 million. Democrats disagreed. They said, no, it's $2.2 million. So regardless, there was probably a $1.75 million or so. In 2003 now, it's $1 billion. So that's a huge jump in 10 years or so. The waiting time in payment is also changed. In 1994, providers waited for payment for 309 days. In 2005, now they're waiting 150 to 160 days for payment. Providers wait twice the average for most states to get paid. In fact, they wait so long that many businesses have had to go out of business because they work with the state. That's a crime. That because you have worked and tried to help the state provide services to its citizens, your business has had to go under. It's just a crime. A public aid card that allows people to buy food for themselves is called a link card. It looks very much like a credit card you can take into stores and just swipe. There was much controversy about what could be purchased with a link card. And so this is from the website, and it's spelled out very clearly. These are the items that can be purchased. There's very few items that cannot be purchased, but they have to be a food item for a household to eat. And these items are allowed, and it's spelled out very clearly because there was a lot of controversy about these items. You'll understand why. Items include soft drinks, candy, cookies, ice cream, bakery cakes, energy drinks, steak, seafood, and snack crackers and pastries. So, All of these things can be purchased on your link card. Now, I want you to understand, Illinois is the 12th leading state in the nation with kids aged 12 to 17 who are obese. Do we have any questions understanding why after we hear what can be purchased on a link card? 36% of our adults are obese. And Dr. Thomas Frieden, the director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said during a press conference that the greatest contributor to obesity is soda and sugary drinks. And yet one of the first things that can be purchased is soft drinks and candy and cookies. The number one reason for obesity given by link card holders is that healthy food costs too much. Now, I want to compare this to a WIC card supplement. Now, WIC stands for Women, Infants, and Children. WIC has very, very stringent requirements on what can be purchased, and every month, these are the items that can be purchased by their cardholders. Their card is also very much like a credit card that can be swiped. These are the items that can be purchased. Whole grain cereals, whole grain bread, whole grain rice, and whole grain tortillas. Frozen or canned fruits and vegetables. Infant cereals, formula, and baby food. 100% fruit juices. 1 gallon milk. 1 pound of real butter, cheese, 1 dozen eggs and 1 whole chicken, peanut butter, beans, peas, and lentils, 1 can of tuna, 1 can of sardines, tofu, soy beverages, fresh fruits and veggies. The items that cannot be purchased are deli items, bakery items, no processed food, no prepared food items, and no soft drinks. Can you imagine how much food you could buy using a link card with that list of food? There's so much food in a WIC card requirements, and there's almost nothing with a public aid card. I mean, it's just incredible to me that the WIC card includes so much nutritional items that can be purchased, and the public aid card includes like almost nothing. When we talk about women, when you decrease the income, that increases the likelihood of obesity. It's just a statistic. Link cards have been used out of state, and they have found that 75% of them are used in border states, Indiana, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin. But, and these you're going to have to explain to me because I don't get it, $21,000 worth of link cards were used in Alaska. $1.2 million worth of link cards were used in California. $2.6 million worth of link cards were used in Florida. And $44,000 worth of link dollars were used in Hawaii. If someone needs to use link to purchase food, how is it that they got to Alaska, California, Florida, or Hawaii? I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. How are they being able to use link money in vacation areas? That's extremely interesting to me. And why isn't the state trying to limit where link money can be spent to further increase Illinois business? so that all of the state money remains within the state of Illinois and further enhances Illinois business. All right. It's time for take a break. Be sure to check out my new Facebook page. It is at Life Matters with Kim Alberts. So take a look at that and then like it. You can also find me on Twitter at Talk Life Matters, and you can check out those pages. So take a look at those. And we will be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
We all want to be happy, but consider that conventional thinking is what got us where we are now. The good news is there's so much more to know that can give us a new and higher perspective. Tune in to A New View of Life with host Kathy Kirk as we unlock the conversational gridlock in America by exploring new ideas and new information on every aspect of life which is needed to move us not just forward, but upward. A New View of Life airs live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ever wondered what private investigators really do and how they go about solving cases? Each week, PIs Declassified gives a glimpse into this little-known world. Join your host, Francie Kaler, a noted private investigator, in conversations with detectives and experts in the field. False confessions, forensic evidence, finding missing persons, exposing fraud, exonerating the innocent. All areas that Francie and her guests will cover. And have they got stories to tell? Tune in and call in to the live show Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
Well, welcome back. Part of the issue with Medicaid, and this has been a long, long argued point, is that Illinois now does not have a managed care system regulate the Medicare money, where private insurance holders have had managed care managing their insurance dollars since the 1980s. There is no limit now, for instance, on how many pairs of eyeglasses someone who has public aid can purchase. That just doesn't make sense. Anyone with insurance knows that there is frequently a limit on the tests that your physician can order, the type of x-rays you can get, many times on whether or not you can get something like a CAT scan, an MRI, an inpatient stay versus an outpatient stay. All of these things are not just done on your physician's order. The managed care company makes that decision. Whereas if you have a Medicaid card, that doesn't enter in because there isn't a managed care company checking over those funds. That's something that doesn't make sense. Other states have had managed care systems for many, many years. It's a huge problem. And one of the problems also is that many, many people are currently being housed in nursing homes who don't belong in nursing homes. They are mentally ill clients who are being kept in nursing homes that aren't qualified for mentally ill clients. And instead of these nursing homes providing them the services and training to help them get out and become live an independent life, the nursing home is just housing them and treating them as a cash cow. The director of healthcare and family services suggests that in 2007, Illinois might have paid $400 million for that situation. And when you combine that with doctor visits and medication for those individuals, it totals approximately $700 million. Right? When we keep adding up all of these amounts of money that were spent needlessly, it would be very easy to get to this $2.7 million that Governor Quinn keeps saying have to come off of the rolls. One of the things that happened back in 1975 was Illinois enacted lottery so that we could begin paying for the school system. Well, in 1975, Lotto sold 129 million tickets. That money was supposed to go to the schools. Lottery is now selling 5.5 million tickets every single day. And our schools are still struggling for education money. One of the first things that gets cut every time there's a fiscal deficit is that we cut the soft funds, social services, education. Right now, what happens is that 30 cents of every $1 goes to pay state bills, and then the rest goes to pay the lottery. People can buy lottery tickets 24/7 online. So we're increasing the availability to become addicted to gambling and decreasing the amount of money that ends up in the education budget. Illinois has 10 riverboats. We have video poker. We have horse racing. We have off-track betting. And you also can play video poker, although the video poker profits are supposed to be earmarked for capital improvements across Illinois. But Illinois is second in the nation behind Las Vegas and Atlantic City in the amount of gambling that's available, and we still can't pay for education. We have 23 prisons in the state of Illinois. 23. We've got 9 work camps or boot camps. The average age of our prisoner across the state of Illinois is 33.9 years for both men and women. We have an entire decade of people who are spending their mid-30s imprisoned. The average cost of incarceration goes from $16,056, which is the cheapest cost, and that's at Mount Sterling in western Illinois. That's a medium security prison for males, and it's currently housing 1,900 males. The highest cost prison is TAMS prison in TAMS, Illinois, and that costs $61,622. It's a maximum security male prison. It's holding 198 men, and they also have a medium security wing, which is holding 199 men. Overall, if we want to average up, it costs $24,434 to keep one person in prison for a year. Right? We have 12 medium security prisons for men. We've got 5 minimum security prisons for men, a maximum security for men, and we have 2 prisons that provide both maximum and a lower security level. And there are 4 women's security prisons in the state of Illinois. We have Pontiac Maximum Security Prison was still being used, and it was built in 1871. Menard Maximum Security Prison is still being used. It was built in 1878. All right. Pontiac is still being used, and they frequently talk about closing a prison, and the one they talk about closing is one of the newest prisons, and that is the Tams Prison, because it is one of the most expensive. But it's one of the most expensive because it is one of the most secure and safest for both the prisoners and the guards. But Pontiac Prison has a huge lobbying effort by the people in the community and by the legislator for that community. And even though they have talked several times about closing Pontiac, because of its age, being built in 1871, that prison has remained open. This summer, several prisoners died there because of heat-related problems. There is a prison that has been built, and it's not even being used right now. There's a huge cost to just imprisoning these people. Obviously, Illinois is in a huge, huge crisis. And I don't think we have 8.9% unemployment. I can't begin to answer and come up with an answer for all of the problems, but I think one of the things is that we need to cut legislative pay and start with term limits. I think we have to start with drug tests for every single link card. And if they have a dirty drug test, they need to lose their benefits. We need to get social service workers back to work and to be providing services to the link card workers and the people who are on unemployment. If they cannot read, they need to be sent to classes to read. No one can get a job if they can't read. If people are on unemployment, if people are receiving link cards and they're unemployed, they need to be doing some kind of work, whether it's volunteering somewhere. Right now, there are so many jobs available, but the problem is that workers can't even meet the basic skills for these jobs. Okay? People need to get back to some remedial education so they can begin to meet the work requirements. Illinois is number 49 in the nation for climate for benefit for workers and businesses. They dropped 40 points in 5 years. That's horrible. Illinois has got to stop doing the same thing that it's done over and over. And we've got to stop electing the same people that we have done time and time again and start holding people accountable. That's my opinion.